God didn't design this to be hard or difficult. Problem is, we just didn't know where all this transformation comes from. Didn't know how to get there. Didn't feel like you could get there. And the basis of that is because of the fall, the separation. Even you're born again and he lives inside of you. Sometimes you feel 100 miles away from him, even though he dwells there and you dwell in him. Or he lives in you positionally. He lives in you and you live in him. He made you one positionally. But there's still separation. Even though he gave you a new creation, your spirit is inseparable. There's separation because of the jurisdiction you live in here. Your soul, your body, your mind, there's separation there. You have to find the place where he conquers that. If you try to conquer that here, you're going to be in a long road, very long road. You can move into brokenness in this jurisdiction, but you're still going to have separation. He didn't design you to walk with him a whole lifetime with that separation. You'll feel that when you go and pray and you want to go into his fullness and you have this invisible barrier. You don't know what it is. You either think something's wrong with you or God's not feeling it today or the enemy's too powerful, whatever. None of those things are true. Truth is the only thing that can conquer the separation. And that's what's going to bring God here to you. Everybody wants God that dwells. He wants the habitation of God. We preach about it. We want revival. We want God to come down and dwell with us. If you want to write this down, God doesn't dwell where there's separation. He'll only release his gift from operation when there's separation. God has to conquer the separation for him to come and dwell here. And that's what he's doing. You can turn your Bible to John 14. Listen, these words that are spoken in the latter part of John 13 all the way through John 17, not even Judas that walked with the Lord was accounted worthy to hear these words. He waited until Judas left the room. These words that are spoken, only one man received. John wrote about 11 of them received and heard these words. Only one wrote about them. These words were given to 11 men. 11 men heard these words. What's in them is the mystery of the Lord's mantle. And what's in them is the mystery of you operating in the Lord's mantle. And what's in them is the mystery of oneness, and the mystery of divine union, and the mystery of perfect love. It's all there. It's in these words, amen. Say it's in the words. And John wrote about them because he laid his head into the bosom of the Lord. He laid his head on the chest of the Lord. And he heard the heartbeat of the Lord. Even the Lord shared the secrets with him. He told him who's going to betray. Even Peter knew John was closer. He said, ask him, John, who's going to betray? And John laid his head. He caught a whole lot more than just who was going to betray. He caught these words. If you say you know God and you say that you dwell with him, it will manifest in love. If it's not manifesting in love, you're only dwelling in a measure of him. You cannot dwell in the Father and it not manifest in love. It's impossibility. You might as well just say, I haven't made it fully into the Father yet. Because if you're still walking around with all your stuff, which most of us do, you haven't fully made it in. That's at least the kind of truth you need to know you need to go higher. Amen. Glory to God. So with that said, kind of want to jump into this, but the whole book of John is really a progression. John 10 was the door. We know fully about that. And John 12, he said, listen, the single solitary corn of wheat falls to the ground. It dies. It beareth alone. It abideth alone. But if it dies, it beareth much fruit. He said, you are my servant. If a man will follow me, if you'll continue with me and follow me, you'll be with me where I am. And he begins these amazing words that are coming to incredible life. In fact, these are the words you're going to need. I used to think the Constitution would get me to birth, but the Constitution can't get me to the birth. It's these words that are going to get the birth. These words are all you need for the birth. They're enough. Amen. There's a lot of supportive words around it. That image, praise the Lord. The Father's love should be the entire image. Glory to God. So I want to begin in John 14. God's going to conquer your separation. You got to know how he's going to do that. If you want your separation conquered, you're going to have to go to where he is. There's no other choice. You want to keep walking around here, wondering, wishing, waiting? You're going to keep wondering, wishing, and waiting. The only way to conquer the separation is for God to conquer you. There's only one force capable of conquering you. He can conquer a lot of things in you by testing and trial. The blood of Jesus conquered you in the beginning. Spirit, but the rest of you has to be surrendered into his love. You're going to have to be with him and the Father. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Remember, there's 11 people hearing these words that changed the world because they heard these words. And you're going to change the world when you understand them. He's going to change the world through you. It says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, you're going to get ready for this word, dwelling. There are mansions there, but that is not the context of what he's talking about. He's talking about dwelling places. Amen? Now, dwelling place comes from a Greek mone. It actually, and that comes from meno. Go from mone to meno. You need to get used to that word meno. M-E-N-O. Everywhere you see the word abide, dwell, throughout the scripture, it's all the same word. Amen? My Father's house, there's many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. God has already, Jesus has already done this. He's prepared a place for you to dwell in the Father. That place is yours, whether you know how to get there or not, whether your faith has overrode the circumstances of life to get there, it's still yours. And I will go and prepare a place for you, this place in the Father, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. I'm going to come back. You're going to be born again, and I'm going to receive you that where I am, say where I am. He said this in chapter 12. He's saying again, there you may be also. It's hugely important to understand that God will dwell with us here, but the kind of dwelling we want him to come and dwell, you're going to have to dwell first with him. You're going to see a pattern emerge over these next 3 or 4 chapters. And the pattern is you in him, and then he's in you. Say you in him, then he's in you. He's going to actually talk to them about his own mantle, how he operated. He's revealing to them the secret by which he operated. He gave them the secrets to his mantle in this chapter. And then he promises them they're going to operate in the same mantle, the same way that he did. And he's going to tell you all that here. Isn't that glorious? He says, where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, in the way you go. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? These guys didn't have a clue what he was talking about. How would they? He hadn't even gone to the cross yet. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man's coming unto the Father but by me. I'm going to bring you there. I'm going to get you there. He's not talking about just being in heaven, but he is talking about being in heaven. Everybody looks like this, you know. One day we'll be there. One day you get there, it's way too late for you when you get there. Yes, you'll be there and you'll spend eternity in glory, but you have lost the reward that would come from this place. As this place will so radically transform and revolutionize your walk with God, it transformed all 11 of them, even Thomas. Before he was done. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him. Look at this. And you have seen him. You've seen him. You've seen the Father.
We trust you're enjoying today's message. We would like to invite you to partner with us through our convenient online donation feature that enables our ministry to continue offering these life-changing messages free of charge. Today's message will now continue.
Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He goes, Philip, how long have I been with you? Now, he's going to tell you something. Did you must understand what he's saying here? I've read this 1,000 times and didn't get it. He said, how long have I been with you, Philip? You haven't seen the Father? How sayest then, show me the Father? Verse 10 and 11 are pivotal. 10. Believest thou me that I am in the Father? The better way to read that is said, believe me, Philip, that I dwell in the Father. In fact, he's going to say it. And the Father dwells in me here. I dwell with him where he is, but he dwells with me where I am. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth, say, dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. And then again, he repeats, he said, believe that I am dwelling in the Father and the Father's dwelling in me. And that was the master key to his mantle right there, that the Father was dwelling with him. Here, in this jurisdiction. And Philip said, show us the Father. He goes, don't you know? I and myself can do nothing. John 5, he says, he goes, I didn't come of myself. He did not come and do this and work with the power and trust in him as the Son of God. He had to become yielded just like you were. He had to be yielded to the Father. He had to dwell in the Father, and the Father would come and dwell him in here. And there's something that happens when you do that. And you cannot reverse that. You cannot ask God to come dwell with you here until you first dwell with him. And that's where everybody's missing it. Believe me that I'm in the Father, Father me. Or believe the works. He goes, now listen to what he's saying. Philip, I'm not doing this. Now to get you to understand this, if Joanne came up here and she prayed for somebody and they got out of the wheelchair, they said, Joanne, awesome. The first thing she'd say, believe me, I'm not doing this. The Lord himself said, I didn't do anything you saw in my earthly ministry. I did not author it. The Father that dwelt in me, he did it. He authored it because he's with me here. You should have known that, Philip. When you saw me, you weren't looking at me. There was another dwelling with me. How could you ask that question? But only because I dwelt with him first. And because I dwelt with him, he dwells with me. Why did God set it up like that? I'm glad you asked that question. What is so important about us to go up there and dwell? Something happened. It's not going to happen anywhere else. John 5, 19, the Son can do nothing of himself, he says, but only what he see the Father do. John 5 and 30, I can myself do nothing. He did not come. Everybody said, well, that was just Jesus. If Jesus would have done it by his own authority without being yielded to the Father, you would have never attained it. In the very next verse, he says, you will attain it. The works that I do, you shall do also and greater than these because I go to my Father. Everybody's running around saying the works I do, but nobody's doing his works. Not like he did it. Everybody wants it. When John's disciples came upon him on a random hour, they said they showed up. And they wanted to know, is this, are you the Messiah or do we look for another? In a random hour, he says, you go tell John what you have seen in this hour you've been with me. The dead have been raised. The blind has received their sight. The deaf hear. Blessed is he who's not offended with me. Believe, here's what he's telling Philip. Believe, here's the paraphrase, that I dwell in the Father. I'm one with him, Philip. When he said that in the book of John earlier in John, he said, I and my Father are one. They want to stone him and kill him right there for it. And that was the very key that he wanted to give to the entire nation. Not only am I one with the Father, I'm going to bring you into oneness with us. But where I'm going, he told them, you can't go. In chapter 7 and 8, they said, what are you talking about where you're going? We can't go. We're the seed of Abraham. He said, where I'm going, you can't go because you seek to kill me. But these disciples, he's telling where I'm going, you can go. Listen to me when he says this. Where he went, you can go. Where he dwelleth, you can dwell. There's going to be things that you're going to be required to overcome.
But the beauty of it is you're not required to overcome yourself. And that is the biggest lie of all. I think that I've got to somehow find a perfection. I keep stumbling at the same thing. And if somehow I can just change the thing, God will accept me. He's already accepted you. He's already loved you. You're not going to find that kind of transformation here. There's certain things you will find, but his love is so greatly powerful when you're with him. The thing he's not asking you to overcome is yourself. He'll do that for you. What he's asking you to overcome is the separation that stands between you and him. In fact, he's going to overcome your separation, but you've got to somehow find a way to him. And in that way, you're going to have to bypass the separation to get to him. Then when I get to where he is, he's going to engage. His love is going to engage me. And when his love begins to engage and execute its power, the first thing it does, it begins to, according to 1 John 4, cast out fear. People think, well, he's just casting out devils. He's doing a lot more than casting out devils. He's casting out capacities of fear. He's casting out separation. He's casting out self. He's casting out rejection and isolation and everything that separated you from him. He'll do the casting out. You can't do that kind of casting out. His love does that. That's why he said, if you say that you dwell in the Father, then you will dwell in his love. And if you dwell in his love, you're going to come back changed. There is no two ways about it. Just say you dwell in his presence. Because if you're dwelling in him, you're going to encounter that love. That love is going to start executing dominion over you and conform you to the image of the Son. But you only do that when you're with him. To that level, to that magnitude. Yes, he will visit you. Yes, he will love you here. He'll do everything he can because we love him because he first loved us. He's coming to you with the cross. He's coming to you with help. He's coming to you with his people. He's coming to you with gifts and ministries. He's coming and doing everything he can. But what he wants from you is to be with him. Because no greater love will ever be found than perfect love that's in the Father. And that was his joy, and he wants to make it your joy. But to get there, there's this big thing called separation. Well, what does that look like? Just go pray. And want God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength, and you'll feel it soon enough. What's going to override that? Because you got to get over that to get to him so he can level that mountain. The mountains, believe it or not, of Zechariah chapter 4, were really just the mountains itself. But love conquers the mountain. Grace under the mountain. When you're with him, he's totally effortless. He overrides everything. Plows it down. But I got to get to him. He's going to tell you how to do that. Amen. So he tells you, verily, verse 12, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these. He's telling them, I want you to operate like me. I want you to operate just like I did. I want to dwell with you the way my Father was dwelling with me in the earth. And then look at this, the master key, verse 13. And whosoever shall ask, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm like, where does that verse live? In the same place the mantle lives. Because I'm going to show you how to operate like me, and I'm going to show you how to get answered prayer from the Father. When I'm done with you, you'll get both. Because the first thing you're going to need is the Holy Ghost. He starts telling him, I'm going to send you the Comforter. Because he's the one that's going to have to get you and remind you of everything I'm saying to you right now, because you're not even going to, you have no idea what I'm talking about right now. He goes, he's going to have to explain all this to you. And he's going to be your teacher and your guide. And the first thing he's going to do is to bring you to where I am. So I can bring you to where the Father is. So the Father's love can execute its power against your separation. So he can come back here to dwell with you. God wants to dwell with you. We're all sitting there. God, come and make your habitation with us. God, because I don't inhabit separation.
we're going to have to deal with that. The stuff you feel when you go to God, when he's done with you, you're not going to feel that anymore. He's going to plow all that mountain down and be with you in perfect union here in this jurisdiction. It seems so hard. Why do you make it so hard? He didn't make it hard. You just haven't got to the place where it's effortless yet. I'm finding it. There's only one thing that can get me to him. It's to keep these words in faith. It'll bypass my separation. So he can plow it down and come back with me. You know, when you were praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We've been wondering about the mystery of how to get the kingdom back here. God comes back with you. Not just the kingdom. God comes back. Where you've been with him, he comes back to be with you. You're going to see this. I'm in the Father, then the Father comes back with me. You're in me, but then I come back to be in you. All that's positionally given, but it has to come into reality. Amen? Look at verse 19. These words, you should just get these notes. They're enough. I'm telling you, these words are enough to get you there. They were spoken in secret to 11 people. They're enough. Now watch this. In a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you see me. And because I live, you will live also, because I'm going to a place. I'm going to bring you to that place. In that day, you shall know. Now look at the order here. You shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and then I'm in you. Do you see that? Don't run past those verses right there. Because the mystery of it all is right there. In that day that you come to be with me, you're going to know that I'm in the Father, and you're going to be with me in the Father. And when you're with me in the Father, then I'm going to come back and be with you. And that day you're going to know that I dwell in the Father, but then you're going to come to this dwelling place, Mano, that I created for you, and you're going to dwell in me as I dwell in the Father. You're going to dwell in the Father. And when you dwell in the Father, we're going to come back where you are. And we're going to dwell with you. Pretty awesome, huh? And he tells you right here, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So you're over here in the world trying to keep all his commandments so God will come and love you. If I can just be good enough, that is nothing but works. You will never be good enough. Paul said, I'm found in him not having mine own righteousness. You think if you can just get it straightened out here, you're going to get accepted there. What you're trying to do is all for works. It's no different than somebody under the law. You just must believe. What God requires is you to believe beyond your feelings, beyond your circumstances. You're accepted in the Beloved, that you are holy and without blame before him in love, that he presents you faultless before the Father. You've got to believe you're found in him, not having your own righteousness, but that is the righteousness of faith. He requires you believe it. If you don't, you'll stay in that jurisdiction. And you'll never get to the place he paid in blood for you to be. The cross was not where our final dwelling place was. We were to receive the cross and ascend into where he was, into the dwelling place he created, so we could be loved the way he was loved and is loved. Because as he is, so are we. He tells you, he explains this verse. I'm going to explain it to you. Because I'm not just operating in revelation now. I'm experientially operating in this experientially. I'm experiencing great love. Even when there's separation, faith is overriding the separation. Even when you don't think you're going to get there, just keep on. I just keep on, and bam, it opens. And I'm like, wow. He goes, here's the beautiful thing. The more you come up here, the less that separation is going to be. Because I'm going to start plowing it down every time you come into where I am. I'm going to remove it so I can come back to be with you where you are and dwell with you. Isn't that what we want? What did the Lord say the secret of his manna was? It's not I that do it, the Father's dwelling with me. He's about to tell you the secret to your mantle, the works you do. He wasn't talking about the gift realm right there. The works that I do, you will do also, all of this, because I'm going to come and dwell with you the way the Father dwelt with me. If you're going to get me to dwell with you, you're going to have to go dwell with me.
because I cannot dwell where there's separation.
He that hath my commandments, verse 21, and keepeth them, it's he that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. So somehow God's love is now conditional to you keeping his commandments. Listen to me. God loves you unconditionally. It's an impossibility for him to vary from love because he is love. So you have to understand what he's saying there. If you keep my command, he's going to explain that to you in the verse coming. He says, we will come and manifest ourselves to him. See, he says, you keep my words. Now watch what he says in verse 23. He's going to explain. And Jesus answered and said to them, they asked, how are you going to manifest? He says, if a man love me, he will keep what my words. He will keep these words that I'm saying to you in this upper room, what I'm about to say to you in chapter 15, what I'm going to say to you in 16, what I'm going to say to you in 17. If you'll keep these words and don't let them depart, they're going to bring you somewhere. Because these words that I'm speaking are the only thing powerful enough to get you through the veil. And they're going to get you to where my Father dwelleth. You think that I'm something. Where do I go and take you to the Father? Wait till you dwell in his love. Your definition of love will be changed immediately. His love has force and power in it to strip you down in a good way. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words in them, and my Father will love him. Look at that. My Father will love him. Say, my Father will love him. He said, if you, now I'm going to show you what he's saying, because he's going to talk about this. You'll keep my words. He says, if you'll keep my words, what I'm saying to you, I'm going to bring you to the Father. I'm going to bring you to where he is. And my Father's going to love you. Does the Father love me anyway? Yes. But he's going to execute his love against your separation. And when he does, he's going to remove the separation one veil at a time after a time. Because I'm going to keep bringing you there and keep bringing you there until you've been exercised and made into the oneness you've already been created to be. And then once the oneness has been achieved and separation has been conquered, we will come back with you. It says, and we will come unto him. And make our abode, meno, make our dwelling with you here. And it's going to be, now listen to this. And when we make our dwelling here, the works that I do, you'll do also, because I'll now be dwelling with you. The reason why we don't have revival, because we don't have dwelling. We have the dwelling of his presence, but that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the Father conquering the separation and bringing us back here. Him being with us. Like he was on Moses' tabernacle when he come down with the glory. See, you bring in thy kingdom come. God comes down out of heaven to be with you here. To dwell with you without separation here. Imagine that. To have the tangible manifest presence and glory of God. The manifest love of God. And when that happens, the works become automatic at that point. The Holy Spirit, are you ready for this? Because the Holy Spirit, he's looking for something. You need to release the kingdom deposit. He's actually looking for something. He's looking for Christ to come out of that veil. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. When he sees Christ come out of that veil and you're now clothed in Christ and it's not you. Self and separation has been separated. He sees Christ. He'll immediately start manifesting. Christ will come and live the same way he lived in the beginning. And it's just like that. Somebody say hallelujah! All you've got to do is get there. That is the whole responsibility. Get there. Look at your neighbor and say, get there. Climb, scratch, crawl, jump, run, walk. The problem is not just getting there. Lord, just tell me, says, correct that. Oh, you have to get there and be upheld there. There's one force that's going to get you there,
two forces and uphold you. His words that he spoke in faith in those words, holding them, working with them daily, and let those words lead you in through the door into Christ, into the rest, into Christ, into the Father's love. That word that led you will uphold you in the Father's love. You will not be a yo-yo. One day in, 4 months out. One day in, 6 months out. One day in, you will be upheld. Because every time you go there, God's got one mission. Execute love against the separation, against self, against the darkness, against fear. Execute it and cast it out. Drive out the separation. Because I want to come back with you. The Father and the Lord wants to come back, dwelling with you here, not just to shout, Christ in me, the hope of glory, greater is in me than he that's in the world. He wants a whole lot more than that shouting. He wants the tangible glory of God with you like he was. He wants to be with you here to manifest and demonstrate the kingdom. And that's the secret to his mantle, by the way. John 14 and 20 paraphrased would be like this. Because he says, I am in my Father, you in me, and I am in you. I dwell in the Father, you dwell in me there, and then I dwell in you here. You're going to see that order over and over again, and it will not be reversed. It cannot be reversed. Verse 25, you're going to like this. These things I've spoken to you, being present with you, but you have no idea what I'm talking about. They don't even know what words to keep. Could you imagine? What in the world is he talking about? They couldn't even understand where he was going. They keep debating in chapter 16. He keeps saying he's leaving. Where is he going? Peter goes, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll give my life to you, Lord. I'll lay it down. Don't you love zeal without wisdom and maturity? Those are the ones that say, I'll be with you till Jesus comes back. Next week, they're gone. I got your back, Pastor. And you give it to them so they could claw it. All those darts, they can't. I have no power when you're in the love of the Father. Nothing can stand in his love. Because I'm going to give you the comforter. He's going to remind you all these things. He's going to teach you, and he's going to bring you to where I am. All that I have, I've given to him. He's going to help you. He's going to bring you in here. That I'm going to bring you into the Father. And once that happens, you'll understand. You'll understand how I operated. You'll understand how the kingdom operates. You'll understand all the power of my love. You'll understand. Multitudes don't come to these words. Multitude comes to the fruit of these words. Now, let me show you something really powerful. So I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 31 is really awesome. How many of you know that there's a 15 after a 14? Is that deep? Did you know there's a chapter 14, but then there's a chapter 15 that comes after that? And a 16 and a 17. He's not done, but he says something pretty remarkable. I happen to think he taught chapter 15, 16, and 17 in a heavenly jurisdiction. I'll tell you why. Look at verse 31. When the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do, arise. Let us go hence. They're in the upper room. Where are they going to rise to? They ain't like there's an elevator there. They're on the second floor of a second floor building. They're in the upper of the upper. He said, let's get up now. Arise. Let us go. The Lord doesn't just say things. God doesn't do things like that. He goes, now for the rest of my exegesis masterpiece, I'm going to show you where you're going. Arise, let us go. Now he gets them up into where he is in the Father, you know, that room. He pulls them up in there so you can pull them up, praise the Lord. Pulls them up in there and he says, now, chapter 15, abide here with me. You know what the Amplified says? Dwell in me, and then I will come and dwell in you. Verse 4 says, abide. I am the vine. You are the branch. Could you imagine the branch laying down there on the ground saying, you know, and God will come and do it when he gets ready. And that vine sitting over, he'll bend that vine all the way down and attach itself to me. And I'll just wait here until he does. So I sit down. So I abide. I'm waiting to abide. I'm the branch. Bend yourself down, O vine. He says, come up, O branch. He says, the branch cannot produce fruit of itself. Neither can you. From apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from my Father, I could do nothing. And apart from dwelling in me, you're not going to get the job done. You're going to have, you know the word abide? Minnow. Dwell. Abide and remain in me. Dwell in me where I am. And then I will come and dwell with you where you are. In you. Is that glorious? These are the words, by the way, that get you there. These are the words you're to keep. You hold them and you keep them. Is the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except the vine. No more can you except you dwell in me. It doesn't get very much clearer than that, does it? You cannot bear the fruit of this kingdom, the fruit of my mantle, unless you dwell with me where I am in the Father. You got to get there. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that dwelleth, abideth. All those words, abide, 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 is all minnow, minnow, minnow. Same thing. I'm the vine. I've created a dwelling place for you. Come, O branch, and plug in. He that dwelleth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. He said, without my Father, I could do nothing. He couldn't do it either. He had to do what he's asking you to do. His faith overcame. He was born also with a new nature, but he wore a body and a soul and with separation. But he was able to override it. Because he's asking you to do the same thing, and he was able to climb up into his Father's house. And the Father came to dwell with him here. And all those works were done by the indwelling of the Father, accomplished by the Holy Spirit that was upon him. And he says, if you don't learn to do this, you're going to struggle. Verse 7, if you abide, if you dwell in me. Here it goes. What he said in chapter 14, if you dwell in me. He says, if man love me, he will keep my words. Here it is. If you abide and dwell in me and my words, say my words, abide in you, you can ask what you will. Not only will you operate in my mantle, the Father will hear you when you pray. Because he'll remove everything that's contrary, and he'll remove all the separation. You'll have an open line of prayer to him. His love is going to conquer everything between you and him. It's really hard to understand that because we very rarely get into that very often, understand the power of it. The reason is because we hadn't really, it's not really about faith, it's about compass. We haven't had the right revelation, we haven't had the right compass, and so we're running around as busy bees and busy ants doing a whole lot of stuff, not you, but the rest of those people out there, running around just doing a lot, not getting anything done. Hadn't had the right compass set. If you dwell in me and my words dwell in you, you can ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Now go to John 17. We'll close with this. You've heard this. Now you're going to understand what Paul said. Who and what in Romans 8 can separate us from the love of Christ? I am convinced nothing, neither life nor death, nor things in the earth, nor principalities, nor powers, no demonic power. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. His faith, it overrode, see. The enemy doesn't have the power to separate you. Your flesh doesn't have the power to separate you. When you keep these words, you're going to march right into a place that's unreal, unlike anything. The love and the glory of it, we're just getting started. He's going to have to spend some time in there before he comes back and dwells with us the way we want him to dwell. But he's coming back because we're going in, and he cannot lie. It's yours, my friend, for the taking.
That place is yours. It belongs to you. What's the order here? What did he say? Abide in me, then I'll abide in you. Look at John 17. Neither I pray, verse 20, for these alone, but for them who shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. They're still in the upper room. They all may be one. Watch this. Father, you are in me, and I'm in thee. The Father's dwelling in Christ. Christ is dwelling in the Father. And then what's next? And they shall be one, what? In us. Notice the word. Father, you're in me. He's talking about his position in the right hand. I'm in you. They're going to be called up to us. They're going to be one with us where we are. Where we are. Now he's going to shift that order in the next couple of verses. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one even as we're one. Now I will be in them, and you will be in me, Father. They will come back. I will be in them, but Father, you'll be with me. That's John 14. We will come and make our abode with you here. First, I'm in you, Father, and you're in me in the right hand. We're going to call them up to be one in us. I'm going to bring them up, Father, to where you are. They're going to come, and you're going to love them the way you love me, Father. And after love has had its place, then they're going, we are going to come back. I'm going to be in them there, and you're going to be in me. We're going to, my Father and I, and the Holy Ghost is going to come make our abode with you in the earth. That's where everybody's looking for. That's the habitation everyone's looking for. That's the revival of the last days right there. He's going to have a people that's going to walk in that. I and them, thou and me, they may be perfect in oneness that the world. See, he's talking about the position in the world. I'm going to be in them. You're going to be in me, Father. We're going to dwell with them that the world may know that you love them the way you love me because we're going to be with them. First you're with him, then he's with you, and the world's going to know. The world doesn't know you know God with your carnal outfit self. It's not until God comes and dwells with you here. They're going to know, oh my, that's something else. The world's going to know you love them as you've loved me. How's the world going to know? Because the manifest presence of God's going to be with you here. Nations knew God was with the children of Israel before they ever arrived into that nation. Then he says, it's final prayer, I will that they, thou who now given me, Father. Let's go back to the point, Father, they be with me where I am, that they can behold my glory. For you loved me from the foundations of the world, and you're going to love them with the same love. The power of his love is going to get the job done, huh? Go to 1 John 4 and I'll close. Those words that I just spoke to you have the power to get you into the Father. If you keep them, interact with them, mix faith with them, mix dunamis power with them, they have the power to get you into the glory. And the love of God has the power to remove every obstacle and every mountain. He'll make them bow down low. You know why I love this? Because it's not just revelation. It works. You know, for the first, you know, these last couple of weeks, there's been no separation. All of a sudden, this separation showed up. I'm like, what is this? I mean, I had this stuff I was pummeling through. And I mean, I'm just working it. And it was like a whole hour's worth. I think the Lord just did that just so I can tell you, you can get through it. And this, you know, the separation, like you're praying, you want to go somewhere and you can't go anywhere. Like you're praying, you feel walled up and you feel like heaven's brass over and you got brick walls around you and you're praying and nothing's happening and you're just sitting there and nothing's going on. You ever been there? What's happening? I just sat there and just churning this word, churning it. I'm with you where you are, the whole thing. And all of a sudden, it happened this morning actually. Nothing for a whole hour. Then it broke. The dam broke. And the love of God come. And I'm sitting there crying, I got to go to church, Lord. I don't want to leave this place. He said, I'll go with you. This love will be in the service. It was there during the worship today. He said, but soon I want to come and make my habitation with you and those with you in the earth. I want you to go to Romans 8. You must dwell first. God's definition of dwelling. How I know? Because love will manifest. How do I know if I'm in the Father? You'll never have to ask that question. Love will manifest itself against your own issues. He'll perfect you. Romans 8:35, we'll close. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Nope. Distress? Nope. Romans 8:35. Persecution? Nope. Famine? Nope. Nakedness? Nope. Peril? Nope. Sword? Nope. Look at verse 37. Nay, and all these things were more. Look at it. More than conquerors. How? Through him that what? Loves. He didn't say loves. He said him that loved with a D. To get to this place, you're going to have to be loved. I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ. Utter impossibility to be separated. You don't have to live the rest of your life walking around in Christendom separated, acting like you're attached. You know how people, I mean, people act like they're attached and just total separated? Because there's no truth in them. If you got it all together, believe me, the world would know it quickly. Might as well just say I don't. I need this place. Because pride will fail you if you don't think you need it. Pride will separate you fast. Father, thank you for this place. Thank you for these words you left us, Lord. Thank you for, I don't know how we found them, Lord, but I'm thankful we found them. We found these words that caused us to find this glorious place of perfect love that removes our separation, that opens the door for what we've been wanting all along, for you to come and dwell with us in the earth. For every prayer to be answered, for signs, miracles, wonders, demonstration, for your mantle to be released into the earth. The sons and daughters of God to walk like you walked, Lord. A generation to display your glory. Grant grace to every son and daughter of this house in their journey to the Father. Grant grace, grant open heaven. Grant these words to come alive and to remain in them. Grant faith to rise where there was hopelessness. To know that nothing can separate us from you. There's nothing that has the force powerful enough to keep us from the Father's love. Except us and our will, which we surrender to you today. I thank you for this day, this place we have arrived. Let us go corporately, Father. Let us come. And come back with us corporately so the world may know that you're with us. We won't have to convince them you'll be with us to convince them. Keep us, Father. Keep us. Keep us growing. Keep us moving. It's been our pleasure serving you. God bless you today.